So let us pray to the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord to guard us and guide us. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us and guide us. Open our ears, our hearts to do your will. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, in the journey of faith, for some of us, it's a pretty easy journey of faith. Recently, and all of us in the church can recognize, I just buried my dad last Thursday. He died, and I was taking care of him. And for those of you in the church that come from an Irish Catholic family, they know the CIA, right? We're Catholic and Irish and alcoholic, right? And I'm assuming that that does affect Southern Maryland, right? There's something really beautiful about a person who is able to overcome his addiction. Somebody in the church has an addiction. I don't know what it is. You might have been struggled with booze or drugs or pornography. But one of the things I just want to kind of put before you is, you know, you have to be willing to want to heal. You have to want to heal. Because all the healing masses that you go to, or all the confessions you can pop out, God isn't just going to say, okay, you know, here's the tomahawk, now you're healed. It demands your will. Your will must want to heal. I just want to say that again. Your will must want to heal. So I can go to Mass and I can still kind of have a closed heart. But in order for there to be real healing, I'd like to tell you something. It demands your response. You must want whatever you're struggling with to be healed. Okay? And I see this more and more now. They're like, hey, Father, you know, they drop off their broken people at my doorstep. Heal my son. Heal my wife. She's got this issue. You know what? What are you doing about it? You're not going to go to adoration? You're going to fast? You're going to give up something? I said to a family not long ago, I said, you know, I feel like I'm doing more for your kid than you are. Just because you drop them off at my doorstep doesn't mean you're doing anything holy. That's just pushing the problem, man. Here, you deal with her. Let the church deal with her. But that's not the point. The gospel today and the reading, I'm going to try to unpack for you, but I just want to kind of bring that to you. You know, in my parish, in my school, we have two little kids who are pretty sick. I have a kid with brain tumor, and I just discovered one little girl has lupus, diabetes, lupus. It's all kind of muddled together. And she's a little courageous little girl because she comes to see me every week, and I bless her, I pray over her, I give her a healing popsicle, which is a popsicle that I blessed that now is a healing popsicle. She asked me recently, she said, can I have another healing popsicle? I said, oh, they're only in my refrigerator or my freezer. Hang on. Can't just make healing popsicles anywhere. But I'd like to say something, that I think that God is going to use those kids to bring healing to the parish. Did you ever hear the saying where God builds a church, Satan builds a temple right nearby, a little chapel? So I'm not surprised if there's sickness or struggle, especially in these parish boundaries, because of your pastor. I'm not blowing him up. There's no need to. He already knows his identity as a priest. So there's no need to worry about that. But what I'm saying to you, and what's very important, is that some of the sickness and some of the struggle that you folks may be going through may be bigger than you. It may be bigger than you. It may be bigger to heal something around you, or to heal something in your family lineage, or to pass on some grace to another person. So I want to kind of make it not just like, okay, Father, come put your hands on me and I'm good to go. That's not where I see the healing, to be honest, and I'm doing this now for almost 10 years. I see the healing when people make a firm resolve, first of all, to reject whatever they're struggling with. And I'm going to get to that. Number two, you have to be willing to recognize that wherever your struggle is, there's an opportunity for God to do something beautiful. So if you're struggling with something, folks, you got to let the Lord work in that area. You have to give God permission. I'm going to say that over and over. You have to give God permission to work there. And whatever you're facing, whatever you're struggling with, give God permission. Because most of the time, it's like a little vulnerable part of you. You know, like those two little kids in my school? They're really vulnerable. It's not a 50-year-old man. It's an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old or 6-year-old. That's the most vulnerable part of my school. And yet God is allowing them to carry this cross so that he can raise up people around them. All of you have a little kid in you that's suffering. I don't know what it is. Something that's very vulnerable. If you give God permission to heal that, then everything around that will heal. I promise you, everything. Whatever you're facing in your life will heal. But God has to work directly in that area. He can't work around it. And I find many times folks are like, hey, Lord, just heal this aspect of my life, but that's not the real crux of the wound. And so there's a lot of this denial. Denial is not a Christian virtue. Thanks be to God. So what I'm driving at first is just the real question. What is most vulnerable in you? And is that the part that is wounded, and that's the part that God wants to heal? The moment that you give God permission to heal that, the moment that stuff begins to happen all around you. But folks, you got to let him. You got to let him. He's got to have your permission to heal that. Okay? So let's say someone in the church went through child abuse, sexual abuse. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to focus right on that. I'm not going to focus on how you say the prayers in Latin. Who cares? I'm going to focus on the biggest struggle that you're facing. And once that begins to heal, then what I'm going to tell you is everything else begins to grow and be filled with grace around it. So the first thing, that's my first point so far. What's the vulnerable part in this play, in you and in the church? Because once you begin to work on that, Father Scott, once you begin to pray to heal that and publicly pray about it and actually cast it out as the pastor, you know what I see? I see healing. He has the authority as your pastor to cast out the struggles that you fight folks are facing. He does it every confession. And I absolve you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right? That's not a general absolution, by the way. That's just an example, all right? So that's the first challenge. So the second thing is, did you notice in today's reading that they began to murmur and mumble and complain? Can I tell you something? In a small place, man, murmuring and complaining can tear it apart. Because you can just get so discouraged. And you can tear people down by your discouragement. You're not entitled to that as a Christian. You're not entitled to complain. You accepted the cross at your baptism, and you confirmed it at your confirmation. What'd you expect in the journey to eternal life? It's going to have its pains. And it's going to have its sufferings. And those of you that are physically sick tonight, have you ever thanked God for that cross? Have you ever said, Lord, thank you? Because you know what? It slows me down a little bit. It makes me refocus my heart. When everybody's out doing this, and I can't do it. Somebody here may be wasting this suffering. That's not what you're called to do, folks. You are called with the grace of God to joyfully accept the struggle. Joyfully doesn't mean, thank you, God, I'm glad I'm sick. Joyfully means, Lord, I accept whatever I'm going through for the glory of God, for your glory. That's what the Lord wants for you. So how are you going to turn that around? Well, you can't turn it into murmuring. You can't say, well, you know, if the church just said this, if my pastor just preached like this, if the choir just sang like this, if my spouse just acted like this, if my kids were decent like this, all of a sudden everybody starts to say it's everybody's fault to change the culture except me. And that's not right. What changes the culture is one person embracing the cross and heroically following the Savior. That's what changes the culture. This one, and this one, and this one, and this one. It's when you can smile when you're suffering. It's when you embrace the trials that you folks are going through. That's when you begin to witness to people. You know, I was driving through Calvert County on the way down here, and I was thinking about this one gal. She came back to the church. Her name is Lisa. She was dying of cancer. And you know, Lisa, every time I picked up the phone, she's like, hey, Father Dan, you got a minute? I got another person that wants to come to a healing mass or come back to church. They're not Catholic, but can I just bring them by? She must have brought 8 people back to the church while she was dying. Every time I turned around, you know, she would come in. Never forgot, she got out of the hospital one time, and she was in a wheelchair, and her head was, she was through all this cancer stuff, treatment of radiation and chemo. You know, they pushed her right up in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the wheelchair. She was awake. By the time she got up there, she fell asleep. You could hear her snoring. The point being is that she did everything she could to bring somebody to Christ. You know, when you guys are really living your faith, you're bringing people to Christ. When you're really living it. You don't have to do it in a public way. You can be struggling and suffering, but everybody in the church is called to bring somebody back to Christ. You want to know why? Because they're murmuring about God out there. And you can change them by your example. They're complaining because God did this and the church said that and this. And you know what? You could go into that situation and say, let's change this. Let's make this different. That's what you folks are called to do. You see, a healing mass, yeah, it comes with healing, but it also comes with a commissioning. Go out into the world and change somebody. That is the calling of a mass with healing prayers. That's the calling. And the Holy Father is calling us all to go out there, kind of spread the word, and get people the call to come back to the church. And whether you got an addiction, whether you got a struggle, whether you have an expectation, whether somebody let you down in your life, you know what? It's up to you what you do with that. But I want to say something. If you're carrying around unforgiveness in your heart, then you are purposely choosing not to heal. That is an act of your will that I cannot fix. If you have unforgiveness against somebody and you are saying, I am not forgiving that person, then there's no matter how many times I lay hands on your head, you're not going to heal. Because the act of forgiveness is an act of the will. Make up your mind. Make up your mind to forgive. And you know what? Then you'll see the healing take place. You will see the power of God working through that. And I find folks say, well, you know, I'm not really healing. Yeah, you want to know why? Because you're not letting go of something. You're not letting go of that thing that you know you never really confessed. Well, I confessed it under and all my other sins, right? Hello. We got to work on that. You can't lump mortal sins under the, oh, and all the other sins, right? And you can't keep driving up to the shrine every time you don't want to go to Father Scott for confession, right? The challenge is, I really think, and this is what I was praying about this morning early in my chapel while Father Scott was sleeping, was this. Do you really want to heal? And that means that all of us, like Lazarus, are going to die. Lazarus died. The Lord said, come on out, Lazarus. And you know what? He eventually died again. Unless you see Lazarus in southern Maryland, he's a goner. We're all going to die. But every time you come out of the confessional, it's like Jesus saying, come on out, Lazarus. Every time you come out of your pain, come on out. Every time the Lord invites you to come through some struggle, it's the invitation of Christ to come out. So, Father Scott, I just want to close with 2 things. Number one, because you're raising up vocations down here, I imagine, son, you're going through some oppression. I surely hope you're praying for your pastor because he's too young of a priest to be down here by himself raising up vocations, right? It's too much. And folks say, oh, Father, do this and Father, do that and say your 23rd Mass and, oh, you look so tired today. That's because he's trying to serve everybody. And folks aren't sacrificing and giving it up for him. I got no problem saying it. I say to my folks in my parish all the time, pray for me and quit asking me to do stuff for you because you don't want to do it. You don't want to go to confession on Saturday? Why not? Inconvenient? Oh, well, can you do confessions at 6 a.m. to fit my schedule? Yeah. But I find that folks aren't praying for their priests. And I'll tell you something. In my book, it's sinful. You may not like that word, but I'm going to tell you it's sinful. Because I find some folks that are really asking the most for him are not fasting. They're not giving it up for him. It doesn't work like that. What it means is you got to pray and fast for your priest. And if he's running around like this man, then you got to give it up for him. He doesn't need more money. Do you? I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Strike that one from the topic. Strike that. This guy wants you guys to be saints. That's what all these young priests want. They want you guys to be saints. They want you to inspire them. When we're tired, we want you to inspire us. That's what we want. We want to see you heroic. That's what we want. Okay? And that's what the church is asking of you. The church is asking you to be saints. And the point of tonight is to recalibrate you, if you're sick, to refocus on Christ. Not refocus on your healing. To focus back on Christ. That is what a Mass with healing prayers is about. Focus back on the Savior. That's the key. And finally, I just want to just encourage you to recognize that wherever you are in your journey of faith, the Lord is with you there, but he's calling you to something higher. When you have folks in a parish that are actually carrying their cross and they're not complaining, you become a witness for other people. Today in the gospel, they said, you know what? They're trying to kill him. Why? Because he said, I'm a son of the Father. All of you should be claiming to the world, I'm a son of the Father. I'm a daughter of the Father. That's what you should be claiming. That's your identity. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. And regardless of where you are in your faith, whether you think you're holy, not so holy, broken or not broken, I just want to tell you that is your calling. And Father, I just want to tell you that, you know, on the day that you and all these folks got baptized, there was one voice that spoke to them. You know what it said? When you got baptized, God said, the Father said, this is my beloved son or my beloved daughter. Okay? The first voice that you heard when you were baptized is that you are my beloved son or daughter. The rest of your life is spent trying to live out that identity. That's the rest of your life. You want to know what the Christian life is? Live out being a beloved son or daughter. That's the rest of your life. Because all of culture is saying, no, you're not. You're not beloved. You're only beloved if you do this. You're only beloved if you act like this. You're only beloved if you make this. The rest of your life is trying to come back to that one statement. Ready? I am a beloved son or daughter. That's your identity. And that is the mission of a healing mass, to restore you to that and remind you that you are a beloved child of God. It's so simple and it's so complicated because I can't make you believe that. If you don't know that, then I'm going to ask for the greatest miracle tonight, that you know that, that you ask the Lord for the grace to know that you are beloved. I don't care if you die in your cancer. If you know you're a beloved daughter or a beloved son, then you will know the voice of the Father. You will know the voice of the Father. So pray for that, because I find too many folks are lost. They're so lost, and they have no idea that they are beloved. That they are beloved. God loved you in your abortions. God loved you in your sexual abuse. God loved in your hatred of other people. God loved you in your addictions. God loved you where you are in your sickness. God loved you in your home runs. And God loved you in your trials and your vocation. Once you know that, then I'll tell you something. Every Mass is a healing Mass. Once you know that, every Mass is a healing Mass. If everything goes all right, Father Scott wants me to come back in a month. If not, I won't be back. But anyway, but I'm here not because of it's my gift. This is God's gift for the people. If I keep my hands in my pockets, I'm wasting a gift. The most beautiful thing, I'm going to celebrate the Eucharist, expose the Blessed Sacrament. I'm going to ask the Lord to heal you as a visiting priest. I want you to pray for everybody in the church. Pray for anybody you'd like you're in this church you don't like. If you don't like somebody in this church, start praying for them. Like Father Scott, right now. I'm praying for him right now, Jesus. If you pray for that person in the church, because I know you all don't get along with each other. At least somebody you don't like. At least one person. At least you're normal. I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them right now. And let the healing of the community continue. Okay? Anyway. God bless you. Thanks, Father Scott. Thanks, folks, for having me to come to this holy mass and come to this holy ground. But I want you to really pray for each other. Imagine the beautiful work that you folks can do once you start praying for folks and praying for those who have hurt you.